When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What is good with everybody here on this Wednesday? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Jay Williams over here. Freddie coming in for the boys over there. Presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as your smart speakers. By the way, we're going to discuss the M word when it comes to Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and maybe staying with the Brooklyn Nets. That comes away right now. I got your interest. Your interest is piqued. The M word. It's a good word. It's nothing that's going to get us fired or anything like that.
Okay. You got me very animated. What the hell are we discussing?
Put it this way. We are not getting fired on payday. We are not getting fired on payday. We're not getting fired on days off and Keyshawn and Max.
Are we talking about the origination of that?
No.
Where are we going with this? I'm so confused.
Jay Will, you know how much I love you. I really love you to the point that I'm not going to get you fired on payday. Let's put it that way. Yeah, no doubt about that. But when it comes, what if this trade can't happen? Agent Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA Insider, says this is what the Brooklyn Nets are looking for if they want to move on and give KD his wish to be traded.
Brooklyn's mandate internally is to get the biggest, best package of assets, draft picks, and players that they can get for Kevin Durant. And with 4 years left on his contract, they have that leverage. There are certainly more teams who are willing to bring in a player, whether he wants to be there or not, who's got to play with 4 years left, especially somebody like Kevin Durant, who loves to play. And I think you look at the Rudy Gobert trade to the Timberwolves last week, and look at that as a baseline. And I think that's what the Nets are doing. Certainly draft pick-wise, you know, essentially five first-round picks. And I think right now for Brooklyn, they're looking at perhaps 4 to 5 first-round picks, pick swaps, and then an all-star level player at the minimum.
You see, to me, this is like playing Texas Hold'em with your boys, right? Ooh. You ever have like a pair, like maybe you got a pair of queens or a pair of kings, and then that river turns, and that's a king. You're like, ooh, boy. And I think for the Nets, that river turn was Utah. And the deal they did,
absolutely,
they were able to do with Minnesota for Rudy Gobert, right? Because when you see a player of his stature get 5 first-round picks and 4 other players that come along with that package.
For Gobert.
And we're rational people, Freddie. And I'm looking at Gobert, and I don't put him in the same sentence or the same breath with Kevin Durant. So what are you getting for Kevin Durant? So when the market goes up like that, and you're the Brooklyn Nets, you're saying, okay, this is great. We are in a position of strength because we can always go back to our client, always go back to our player and say, hey, look, this is what the market warranted for Rudy Gobert. We don't see anything that would supersede that for a player of your caliber. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play out this year.
And that's where the M-word comes in. The Nets want something monumental in return. Because based on what you just said.
You said M.
Yeah, monumental.
Oh, M. Oh, that's a mistake. I thought you were saying N.
I said M.
Yeah, I'm so confused.
That's that letter right before N.
I need the coffee.
And right after L.
You can see now where I was going. I was like, whoa.
I thought that's it. At that point, I got Jay. I said the M word. And I thought, oh, man, I can't wait to hear this word. He thought something else.
Yes, I would say I was going down a dark path.
That's why we were all worried, Freddie.
I don't know why I had you all worried. I said M. I didn't speak Greek.
Yates looked at me like it was out.
See what happens.
Let's do it.
Let's not do it.
This is why we can't have nice things anymore. This is why. These kind of situations creep up. That's why we can't.
You should have seen my face. We about to give a history lesson? No, what's about to happen?
We can't have barbecue sauce in the barbecue anymore. We can't have Labor Day company picnics at Lake Compound.
You didn't say M. And for a guy who's like the Ron Burgundy of TV, I don't understand how you didn't do that.
I know for a fact that I said, we're going to get to the M word. I said M. I'll do that for you guys now.
Everything. I was prepared, man.
We said monumental.
James just put his hands up like, not me.
Monumental, not nominental, which is not a word.
I was thankful that I gave you my resume, Jay.
So was Allen.
Get that job now.
So was Allen. You guys were determined to get fired on payday.
Monumental was the word you were searching for.
Because,
okay.
Use your term. It's the same thing. When Deshaun Watson got that money from the Cleveland Browns, $230 million plus in guaranteed money, all this happened, and Lamar Jackson said, oh, really? Now he can pretty much name his price. He goes out there, and he's the Lamar Jackson that we've seen before, and he doesn't have any kind of injury.
No baggage MVP, like that.
And no baggage like that. That market price has been determined by what Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson. It's the same thing what you just said with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but they decided to give up that kind of haul for Rudy Gobert. And the Brooklyn Nets are like, look, Kevin, we want to grant you your wish, but there's no way we're getting anything along those lines because nobody has those kind of assets, no matter what they did regarding Rudy Gobert going from Utah to Minnesota.
Now, I will say this. You know, Rich Kleiman is my boy. Rich Kleiman is a guy that kind of oversees 35 ventures and, you know, talks to all the general managers and owners of teams and his working relationship as a partner with Kevin Durant. And look, something will happen. Like, he is brilliant, really smart at putting this together. But if you're Sean Marks and you're Joe Tsai, and you sit down with Rich and KD and you say, hey, look, we're not going to get a return that we feel we would value in exchange for Kevin Durant.
Sure.
We can't make this deal happen. So what we're going to ask you now is to be a professional. I know you may not want to be here, but sometimes we don't want to be places in life, but we do what we have to do. So if we're willing to bring Kyrie back for another year and work through this, would you guys – with this roster that we have completed, since we're building it out with Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Patty Mills, TJ Warren, who can light it up off the bench, with Ben Simmons, that we can play small, we can play fast. So we'll add additional big Nick Claxton. I mean,
got a squad.
Is this squad good enough for you to have a chance to win a world championship? Do you want to run it for a year? I think you do it.
You should do it because it just makes sense. I mean,
then Kyrie, get your bag. You want to go somewhere else?
Getting this bag anyway.
And by the way, I would just play into all the emotions of it. KD,
play to the vanity.
We know that we're not the main reason why you came to Brooklyn. We know that Kyrie is the main reason why. Kyrie, you vouched for KD to make this move here. Don't you feel like that warrants you guys taking a legit shot at it when hopefully there's no situation that occurs this season, a pandemic and, you know, and vaccines and if we just had a normal year. Which you should be able to have. Don't you guys owe it to each other to have a true opportunity to win a chip together and see at full strength what this team could do?
Ryan Alexander hit us on Twitter, Real J Williams at KJ and Max and at Coleman ESPN saying, we all know that Kevin Durant is a unicorn, but are the Brooklyn Nets not going to get the same haul that Rudy Gobert got because he's always looking to move on when things aren't perfect?
And what I'm saying for Kyrie, even if you want to say he's a rental, this whole narrative has just been created that he's not accountable. A lot of people say he doesn't like to work. So you're just going to trade him now, and if you're another team, all of a sudden, hey, we got Kyrie. I said this the other day. I said, for all the people that have bashed Kyrie for the last 2 to 3 years, now you're telling me, woo, it would be blockbuster if he goes to L.A. All of a sudden, all those issues just disappear? He's going to all of a sudden be accountable now?
No.
Like,
right.
So, like, if you're another team on the opposite side of this, aren't you looking at it saying, before I jeopardize my culture or even want to find out about that, just let me take a – I gotta feel this out.
Well, then Kevin Durant should definitely do the same thing. And I wonder if he's doing that now because you can put a demand out there, but then if the landscape says it's almost impossible for you to get what you want, when you said Miami and Phoenix are your two preferred destinations – and then they're like, look, we would love to have you, but we're not going to do this. And then gut our basketball team where we're playing you 38, 40, 45 minutes a night because we don't have a proper bench.
Does KD want to be in T-Dot? Does he want to be in Toronto? It's a real question he has to ask himself, right? Now, legitimate franchise, great ownership.
Great fan base.
It's incredible. I mean, if you talk about a redeeming quality, here's one for everybody. Yates, Pacasello, James, Freddie, our whole crew. Talking about putting your feet down somewhere, I'm just going to throw it out there. You put your feet down for a country now. What? Kawhi Leonard did it, and he's forever ingrained. They will forever love him. If you are looking, if that's your plan, you want to get out, and the assets don't exchange properly with Phoenix or Miami, like, I would trust in Masai Ujiri. If they were willing to give up Scottie Barnes, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, well, I'm going to need a low back in return. But you would have literally not only OVO and Drake and everything happening up there with his basketball movement, which is a really big thing, Freddie. I've been up there. It's incredible what they've established up there, right, as a brand.
Got it.
But you would also have an entire country behind you. An entire country will forever be in love with you if you decided to go there. That would be interesting.
By the way, this is another reason why the Brooklyn Nets are the most interesting team in sports, not just in the NBA, but in sports. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs.
Oh, I need that.
We all do. Wow. Man.
But I need that. I needed it. Past tense.
For protection on the road, for J. Will, and in the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE at progressive.com.
Look, I'm getting you to mess up on reads.
I'm still laughing about that right now.
I need a deal, Progressive. What are we doing?
1-800-PROGRESSIVE at progressive.com. We stay in New York. We go from one side of New York to the other and from one sport to the other right now.
NFL Two-A-Days continues on ESPN Radio. The New York Giants.
With the fifth pick, the New York football Giants select Kayvon Thibodeau, defensive end, Oregon.
The problem with the Giants is this. Talk about a guy on the clock, Daniel Jones. They don't pick up the fifth-year option, and they say, this is a prove-it year.
Does a good job in the huddle, does a good job in the classroom. Just a guy that wants to be really good and is trying everything he can do to be the best he can.
I think when you look at Saquon, it's redemption season. That's the vibe that I get. If you doubted me, stay on the other side of the table when I turn it around.
Believe me, with all this going on the Brooklyn Nets, you know who's happy about this? Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, because nobody is talking about them right now. With Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman, thanks for joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and tune in. Let's bring in a former New York Giant, now does a great job, part of Carolyn and Canty, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. He is Chris Canty, joining us to talk about the New York Giants. And I don't want to say it's a loaded question, but it is a loaded question. What kind of expectation anybody really have, Chris, when it comes to Daniel Jones in perhaps his final season as quarterback of the New York Giants?
Well, the expectation for Daniel Jones, Freddie, should be to be the second-best quarterback in the division. I mean, if you look at the landscape of the NFC East, you're talking about Carson Wentz, who was a failed quarterback at Philadelphia and in Indianapolis, and you're talking about a quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who's going into his second full season as a starter. So, I mean, listen, I'm not saying that Daniel Jones has to go out here and light it up like we see Justin Herbert and some of the other younger quarterbacks around the National Football League, but he's got to at least give them competent quarterback play. And that remains to be seen whether or not he's going to be capable of doing that over enough of the season for the Giants to be in position to contend for a playoff spot. We're talking about a guy going into year four and essentially being out of excuses as to why he can't produce. And, Freddie, I'll say this about Daniel Jones. He's got 50 total touchdowns to 49 total turnovers over three seasons as a starter, and you're talking about him playing in 37 career starts.
So, CeCe,
I just don't know if Daniel Jones is the guy, and it's clear that the Giants aren't sure because they declined to exercise his fifth-year option.
So, CeCe, that's fine. So what are reasonable, competent quarterback player type numbers this year that you would need to see from Daniel Jones? And I also understand aesthetically how it looks, what it feels like, but that would give you a little bit more assurance that maybe he is the quarterback that we can see moving towards the future.
Somewhere in the ballpark of 3,500 to 4,000 yards passing, somewhere around 30 touchdowns on the season, and cut down on the turnovers, Jay. I mean, I would like to see his turnovers go way down. I mean, you're talking about trying to get that number somewhere, you know, 13, 14 total turnovers on a season. I think that's competent quarterback play in the National Football League. And based on what the Giants have surrounded him with, the supporting cast, I mean, you look at it, they've tried to continue to put weapons around him, whether it's Kenny Golladay or Kadarius Toney. You still got Sterling Shepard there. They drafted Wandale Robinson. And not to mention, the second of their top 10 picks, Evan Neal, who is a mountain of a man to play right tackle. Now you got bookend tackles in Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal. I mean, they're fortifying the offensive line. They continue to add skill positions. They actually went out and got a solid backup quarterback, a veteran presence in that quarterback room for Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor. So this is the year that Daniel Jones has got to show and prove. Otherwise, the Giants are going to be looking to move off of him. And we also got to keep this in mind, guys. Daniel Jones is not Brian Daboll's guy. He's not the new general manager, Joe Shane's guy. They would have no reservations moving off of him in 2023 because the quarterback class coming out of college in 2023, as many as six guys at the quarterback spot are expected to be first-round picks. So there'll be options for the Giants in the draft if Daniel Jones pulls a no-show in 2022.
Chris Canty joining us from Canty and Carlin, host of the Canty and Carlin Show on ESPN, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. CeCe, you know, a lot of people have said, and I agree with this, it feels like this year is like Brian Daboll's playing with house money, right? He got the draft picks. He got Tyrell Taylor, which I love because I think pressure always forces people. Either you're going to be that guy or you're not going to be that guy with a guy like TT behind you, right? Who is a journeyman, but who is a classic professional as well. Would you agree that Brian Daboll's playing with house money to watch and see who he wants to handpick to move forward with this year?
Well, I mean, I understand why you would say it's house money, Jay. Here's what I would counter with. You know, looking at the NFC East, I would say that it's probably one of the worst divisions in football in terms of overall depth, right? And so it feels like there's an opportunity for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to be a little more competitive than what people would expect coming into this season, just because of the pieces that the Giants have in place. And when you look at their strength of schedule, it's 29th in the NFL. So, I mean, I just feel like there's an opportunity. You got a quarterback that's a veteran now. You've got a defense that was, you know, flirting with being in the top 10 from a year ago. It just feels like now is the time for the Giants to continue to try to ascend. And so, yeah, it's house money for Brian Daboll. I mean, this is his first year. They're going to give him time to implement his program. But that doesn't mean that there's not an opportunity for them to step in and compete for a playoff spot. We saw it with Nick Sirianni with the Philadelphia Eagles this past year, getting that team to the postseason. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility that that can get done. But, I mean, the Giants have got some serious questions that they've got to answer in 2022. And I think the biggest ones are what they're going to do with their backfield. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Are those guys going to be cornerstones for building your program in the future, or are you going to have to move on from one or both of them? And the interesting part about it is both of them are in a contract year. Because the Giants declined Daniel Jones' fifth-year option, he can walk after this season. Same with Saquon Barkley, unless they give those guys contract extensions at some point. You can only use the franchise tag on one of them. So it becomes a very delicate situation for the Giants in terms of evaluating both of those guys. And it could be a situation where they have to make a tough decision on one of those guys' future and no longer being a part of the team.
Well, number one, they're not putting a franchise tag on Saquon Barkley unless he gets in touch with Adrian Peterson in 2022. So that's not happening at the running back
position. It's only $13 million, though, Freddie. Here's the thing. I'm with you, but do you want to sign him to an Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey contract? You're talking about guaranteeing him 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I wouldn't do
or
that.
Or do you want to have him on a one-year proposition because he is a running back? That's the give and take when it comes to what you're going to do with Saquon Barkley, but the same can be said for Daniel Jones.
No doubt.
Do you want to commit to him long-term, or would you prefer to play him under the franchise tag for another year just so you have a larger sample size of him playing consistent football? See, those are the tough questions that they have to answer, but the Giants have put themselves in this situation by overdrafting those two players in back-to-back drafts.
Chris Canty from Canty and Carlin on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. Who's more likely to break through? Is it Daniel Jones, a quarterback in his final year, or Saquon Barkley, a running back in his final year?
I'm going to say Daniel Jones. And I can't believe I'm about to say the next sentence of this, the next part of this, but it has to do with the health concerns. And I get that Daniel Jones has never played a full season as a starter, but I worry about health when it comes to running backs in the National Football League, especially, you know, a race car like Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's a guy that when he's healthy, he's one of the best satellite running backs in the NFL. And what I mean by that is you can line him up all over the formation, whether it's in the backfield, whether it's splitting them out wide, putting them in the slot. You can put him anywhere, and he's going to find a way to be productive. But the only problem is he's going to be a high-touch guy, a volume player, and that means that he's going to take a lot of hits. And for the injury concerns we've seen him have with the ACL and the ankle injuries, I just worry about his ability to be durable and to be healthy. And so I would probably lean toward Daniel Jones more so than Saquon Barkley, just because I feel like there's a longer runway when it comes to quarterbacks, especially with the new rules that the NFL has implemented in protecting the quarterback when he's in the pocket. So I lean toward Daniel Jones, but I'm not saying that with my chest, Freddie.
CeCe, this is probably unfair, but I'm going to ask you to prognosticate here for a second. What kind of career do you think Saquon Barkley will end up having when it's all said and done?
Good question.
Jay, it's hard to say that his career won't be a disappointment, given that he was taken with the second overall pick in 2018. And think about some of the players that the Giants passed on. I mean, you're talking about guys like Quentin Nelson and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Those were all positions of need when the Giants were on the clock after the Browns took Baker Mayfield. Oh, and they took Saquon Barkley. Yeah. So when you view it through that lens, it's hard to say that it's not a disappointment, right? This was a guy coming out of Penn State that people were saying was the second coming of Barry Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it certainly has not been that the last couple of years with Saquon. He had a great rookie year. His sophomore campaign wasn't bad, but it's been all downhill ever since. And I'm not sure he can ever reclaim that form that we saw early on in his NFL career.
Yeah, it takes one to know one, CeCe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Hey, Chris, always a pleasure, brother. You're always a great follow on Twitter, ChrisCanty99. Try to keep Chris Carlin in line, okay?
That's easier said than done, boys.
Thanks, CC.
All right, CC.
All right, later on.
How's it going, brother?
Chris Canty from Canty and Carlin, like we mentioned, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Why'd you give me a weird look?
I didn't give you a weird look.
Oh, when I said it takes one to know one.
No, I'm just saying you're very self-deprecating what you've gone through. Because a lot of people in your situation, being a number two pick in a draft, having the motorcycle accident, having the comeback, there were a lot of people that were rooting for you, still rooting for you, but there are a lot of people that wouldn't take it as well as you have, because it could not be easy to have your complete athletic and personal life usurped that way. Saquon's gone through a torn ACL, and he's trying to find his way back. You went through a life-altering situation.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people would be very jaded. I'm just saying, I wasn't giving you a look. I'm just giving you respect.
No, but
I don't know how I would handle that if I had to deal with what you had to deal with in your life and overcoming all of that after you graduated from Duke.
Well, first off, Freddie, we're like brothers, right? So we can always be that way in front of each other. And secondly, for me, it just gives me perspective about how challenging it is to reach an elite level, right? Injuries happen. And I do this sometimes. You know, I courtside seats to different games. And when I take friends to games, and these are my boys, right? Jersey, New York, all over California, that talk trash about athletes or say, this guy's a bum. All my text chains that I'm on.
Right.
Fantasy leagues, all that stuff. I take them to games, and they see how big and strong and fast dudes are, if that's down on the field for a Giants game or if that's sitting courtside at a Knicks game or a Nets game.
Sure.
And they're like, yo. I'm like, yeah. In order to, like, Joel Embiid or James Harden having a hamstring injury, yo, like, that takes a lot away from your pop on the court. All of a sudden, your numbers are going to go. You can't – it's not the same anymore. Now, they're so skilled, they can compensate and still score different ways. But injuries, especially for Saquon, the ones that he's had at that running back position, man, it makes it tough to succeed. And it just hurts that you hear the word disappointment, because you know how many things need to go right in order for not to be disappointing somebody drafted so high.
Especially in that city – at that position, and the guys that you decided not to take when you took Saquon Barkley, when you're the New York Giants. You have to wonder how much they're going to still pay for the decision of Dave Gettleman, the general manager, who's no longer there when it comes to the New York Giants. We talk about the expectations of the New York Giants and what you should be looking for. What about that other team in New York? Jay talked about his team. We're going to talk about my team. That's next on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. NFL Two-A-Days continues on ESPN Radio. The New York Jets.
With the fourth pick, the New York Jets select Sauce Gardner.
They did so well, like, I didn't know how to react because I'm used to writing positive things about the Jets. They're getting such universal praise around the league for their draft.
With the 10th pick, the New York Jets select Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson, I thought, was one of the top receivers in this class. Maybe the top one.
For Zach, really, it's just to continue to progress. He doesn't need to be Tom Brady this year. Now, if he ends up being that, that's awesome. But that's not the expectation for him. The expectation is for him to continue to climb that mountain.
I can't wait to see him week one and see what he can do because he's in a different place than he was last year.
Hello, J. Will and Freddie Coleman, or Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as tune in. So 10 minutes ago, part of our Two-A-Days, we're getting you ready for the NFL season. We talked about the New York Giants and their expectations. We talked with Chris Canty, former New York Giant. Let's talk to former New York Jet and also Baltimore Raven Bart Scott, part of Bart and Hahn, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And he's here to talk about the Jets and their expectations, especially, Bart, when it comes to year two regarding Zach Wilson. For me, I'm hoping not to have the same questions about him after year one. What are your expectations for the second-year quarterback of the New York Jets?
Well, first of all, it's always great to hear your voice fast, Freddie. But I think we're on the wrong side of the ball, right? I think last year we focused so much on the development of Zach Wilson that we really didn't pay attention to that defense was horrible, right? And you talk about all the picks that they brought in, and you talk about, you know, bringing in the receiver from improving the offensive line. But I want to focus really on how you support a young quarterback, because I've went to two AFC championships with two rookie quarterbacks, and we did it on the defensive side of the ball. And you look at what they did on the defensive side of the ball. You look at when they went out and they go get DJ Reed, right? You talk about Sauce Gardner already having Breece Hall there, but really going out there and really now they have that NASCAR package. I don't know, you know, last year what was going on with Vinny Curry. If it was Oregon Trail, they would have said he had dysentery. I don't know what type of, you know, ailment he had, but it cost him the entire year. But you talk about also getting a guy back like Carl Lawson, who was the prize offseason acquisition the year before. And then you go out and you draft Jermaine Johnson. You go out and you go to Houston and you bring in Jacob Martin. You already have Sheldon Rankins, Quentin Richardson. So, you know, man, I'm sorry, Quentin Williams. So you think about Nathan Shepard. So I look at all the depth they have on that defensive line, going out and seeing if they can kick the tires on Solomon Thomas. So I look at that NASCAR package where they can try and wear guys out from a defensive line perspective to support that quarterback to try and get him on short fields, to get three and outs. You know, going out and getting, Jordan Whitehead from, you know, Tampa Bay to bring in that championship pedigree. So I look at what they did on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that's the best thing that they could have did for Zach Wilson is go out and make sure that they shore up that defensive side of the ball so that he doesn't have to win in shootouts. And then, you know, going to get Breece Hall to support that philosophy.
Bart, take me to the offensive side of the ball for a second. So I think it was last week Mekhi Becton wore a shirt that said Big Bust, mm-hmm. right? And I'm during a press conference, and I'm curious, do you think he will make the haters eat their words this upcoming season?
Listen, I don't understand the hate that we've seen for this young man. First of all, he performed tremendously his rookie year in a gap scheme when he dominated everybody that wasn't Melvin Ingram. I'm talking about Nick Bosa. I mean, listen, Brian Baldinger would just, like, he was too giddy for him just throwing guys up out of the club, checking their IDs his first year. Yeah. And then what happens is that you come in with a different philosophy, and now you go to a zone scheme, and now you got a 350-pound man trying to cut people off from the backside. That's not really what he's good at. What he is good at is moving grown men against their will. Well, what happened is then, you know, you look at what Fant was able to do, becoming, you know, a solid, you know, lineman within that scheme. I think he was ranked one of the highest linemen left tackles in the game. Now, listen, you know, Fant isn't better than Becton. But what this allows him to do, because of his athleticism, his basketball pedigree, that allows him to be able to get up to the second level, cut guys off, and play basketball on the football field. Mm. But then now you look at Becton. Now, okay, well, I'm going to move Becton to right tackle. Right, and we talk about the pairing of him versus around Avera Tucker. Now you put him next to Langton Tomlinson, mm-hmm. who's been in this scheme, who's a Pro Bowler, and now you say, okay, listen, guess what? Instead of you trying to cut people off, Becton, we're running to your side because now we're a right side dominant team, and we got some tight ends and CJ Azuma who knows how to block and play at a high level as well. And now now we're running to you. So now guess what? You're not cutting anybody off. Now you actually have help on your outside shoulder, and guys eventually is going to have to decide, okay, I have to anchor. And they won't be able to anchor against the big man. So you see like the running game starting to be able to really pick up, because now I think you move Becton to right tackle, and he is going to be a dominant player because now he doesn't have to chase anybody. Now you have to stand on the train tracks when the train's coming through.
So, Bart, sorry, my headphones popped out of the socket for a second. I lost sound. I was freaking out. You can only see me. Bart's like, what's going on?
Bart doesn't panic.
Yeah, he does not panic at all. Don't worry. I'll panic for everybody.
The cheese is always at the taco when it comes to Bart Scott.
Oh, you don't want to get all the cheese on the taco, man. But listen, the government going to check us for all these hours we putting on you fast, Freddy. So, talk about time and a half. They ain't even the beginning of it.
Bart, today we've been having this crazy conversation in all sports, right?
Right.
Freddie Coleman came up with his top five list of guys that were superstars, but were never the real leaders on their team. I came up with a list about who I thought the best leaders were in the NBA. And I'm curious, other than the coaching staff, because I know de facto Robert Saleh will be that person, mm-hmm. but like, who on the field is the leader of the New York Jets?
You know, it's weird, man. I think last year something really happened, you know, with Carter. You know what I mean? I think people gravitate to him. I think they love him. We know C.J. Mosley on the defense side of the ball, coming from that Baltimore Ravens pedigree. We know that people gravitate to him and people follow him, even though he's softly spoken. You know, he said last year, hey, I want guys that want to be here and keep all that same energy while y'all laughing and joking and kicking. And then when we level up, then be ready to take all this smoke because we're going to keep all these receipts. But I tell you what, people love Michael Carter. They love his – you know, they have nicknames for him. They love the way that he competes. They love the way how scrappy he is. He reminds me of Ahmad Bradshaw as far as how he always falls forward. He's like a little scrappy dude. He's a little dude, but he has a lot of heart at 5'8". And he's just one of these guys that people love, I believe, as well. You know, you look at on the offensive line type, you know, that's what you bring Tomlinson in for, to kind of be – whenever you go get somebody that you have success with somewhere else, it's because you want to be able to echo that message within the locker room so guys can understand the why and sometimes not the what and buy into the system because you've performed at a high level within that system. That's exactly what, you know, going out and getting Langton Tomlinson is going to do because he's had the ability to be successful. That's why you bring in a guy like DJ Reed, you know, that played with you in Seattle so that he can go out and also echo, listen, we can be dominant within this system, and it's like having another coach on the field. That's what I think that last year what Robert Saleh really lacked was guys that can echo the message, guys that have performed at a high level. Let's see if Solomon Thomas. Hey, man, I got too many syllables. You know
what I'm saying? Too many syllables.
Solomon Thomas can bring also over because he's trying to erase that bus. Scarlet letter that he has on his chest, and at 26 years old, he has a lot to prove. Let's see if he can do that.
Always a pleasure, brother. Thanks for caring about my hamstrings. We'll talk soon.
Fast Freddy, y'all woke me up this early for 5 minutes.
Hey, Freddy, what kind of product
it's
Freddy moving?
Five good minutes, man.
Hey, man, we got to get that Bengay with the CBD oil for Fast Freddy to keep them hamstrings safe and sound, baby. You too old to be pulling a hammy.
This is just breaking all these human rights violations here involving Bart
Scott. Bart, just don't let the Bengay get too close to the private part. You know what?
No doubt.
We've had that happen before.
Fire. Listen, Freddie, blink two times if you've been held hostage against your will.
Go do your show. We'll talk to you later. Bart Scott from Late Bart On, giving us about the Jets and Giants, who will be the hotter ticket in New York this fall. And the hot ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live, whether the Bengay is too close to your Vivid or not. Here's Jay Will. I'm Freddie Coleman of Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max. Is this the beginning, finally, when it comes to the NCAA?
Let it burn, let it burn.
Well done. This is ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman, ESPN Radio. So, Ja Morant in a restaurant and so, religion.
Did you see this thing that happened the other day?
I did not.
So, he's at this diner, and Ja is a low-key, chill dude, right? Always laid back. So, he's at this diner. He's sitting at the countertop, and he's ordering food, and this waitress is talking to him, and he gives her a $500 tip, right? Mm-hmm. That's that new money. Oh, yeah, he's got that new money. Mm-hmm. So he gives her a tip, and the woman's trying to figure out who the hell he is.
Right, because he's somebody important. He's somebody,
people just ain't giving $500 tips for a meal that costs $30,
no
right?
doubt. Mm-hmm.
So she's like, who are you? And he looks her dead in the eye and goes, I'm Black Jesus. I said, I can't. But I am curious, like, for people who are non-basketball fans, or if you're, like, uh-huh. if you're a non-football fan,
sure.
Like, how long would it take for a normal person to figure out who Lamar Jackson was?
It'd
like, who's a non-football fan?
It would take a minute.
Or, mm-hmm. you know, Ja Morant is different. Like, she's mm-hmm. like, where you play? He's like, Memphis. She's like, oh. And she still couldn't put it together,
of
right?
Of course not, because she doesn't know the Memphis Grizzlies.
Exactly. So, like, guys, I mean, we're talking about the next level. Mm-hmm. You just signed an extension for $200 million.
There's something to be a celebrity, and there's something to be celebrated. And both of those things are not the same. Mm. LeBron James is celebrated as a celebrity. Ja Morant's a celebrity, but when it comes to Q rating outside of that, He has not been celebrated enough yet.
He's a national celebrity within the basketball world. Absolutely. But he's more of like, he's a regional superstar.
Yep.
Because
yep.
right? we've been down to Memphis, and it's like, in that whole pocket, in that whole region, it's Ja all the time. Everywhere. He can't go anywhere.
That's his kingdom.
Yeah, but outside of that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's where it gets a little bit challenging.
Now, Zion Williamson, even though he has not played anywhere near Ja Morant, is more noticeable and recognizable than Ja Morant.
There's even though he's played 85 games right. in three, yeah.
Right, because he played at Duke number one.
Yep.
The way he played at Duke.
Yep.
That he, even before then, he was a YouTube sensation.
I will tell you, I mean, all the numbers digitally, though, like Ja Morant's
absolutely.
Like second or third in NBA he's, on all of his digital numbers, though, because he goes viral like every
NBA.
Night.
NBA.
There you go.
In the NBA.
Preach.
Put it this way, if Ja Morant was an NFL quarterback, he'd be more known. There's no doubt about that because the NFL rules the rules.
Who's the NFL players. Equivalent of Ja Morant?
You mentioned him, Lamar Jackson.
You think
he's
so?
Winning MVP.
MVP.
If Lamar That's Jackson crazy. Is in the same situation in the diner and you tip somebody $500 and they don't know who you are.
He's the MVP, though. He's a former MVP.
I get it. But to the common person.
He is Madden. He is the epitome of Madden to me on the football
right.
field.
To the mainstream person,
That's wild.
To the mainstream person, Lamar Jackson not anywhere near known as Patrick Mahomes, even though he's a former
MVP. I
will
give everybody here the business of Madden, by the way. Mark that down.
Oh, boy.
UCLA and USC are planning a move to the Big Ten.
I talked to a high-ranking university official in the Pac-12, said they got Sooners and Horned. Nobody saw this coming.
Keep your seatbelt on because they're not done.
Woo!
Man.
I'm going to see him in Vegas in a couple weeks now. I'm going to go out there.
Is he part of the residency,
my boy,
right?
Scott, yeah, we're going to go check it out.
Man. You know, I
know every Usher hit, man. It just brings me back to my bag of feelings, man.
I know the first one after he was on Star Search. At 15 years of age, before he really blasted off with You Make Me Wanna and Nice and Slow and everything, when he first came out 15 years ago, Stars, I said, man.
Man, 8701?
Yo, forget it.
8701?
After tonight.
That's when he had that.
But you played for real.
I was just about to get drafted around that time. You know when he had that? That's that new Cadillac. The one where... Well, it had like the back that kind of looked like a pickup truck that kind of slanted.
And had like the grill.
Ooh, yeah. You had the rims on it too. Yeah. Like clean.
You going to be okay?
No, I started touching myself. Like I got excited. Well, stop.
I need it back.
You were digging your toes in the carpet here. Man, Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max. Jay Will and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio.
You're going to go see Usher in Las Vegas. Yes.
No.
And I'm going to go see Metallica in Pittsburgh. We live in
two completely different galaxies.
So things I read, because James puts me on these things, Metallica on the season finale of Stranger Things. Yeah. Trending right now.
Absolutely.
See? So, James, don't sleep on me, man.
Spoilers. Well, one. Spoilers. But,
James, okay. James, don't give him credit. He got one Metallica reference right.
But yeah, I'm proud.
I got AC/DC, Guns N' Roses. That's my jam, man. Come on, man.
But you,
November Rain?
Wow. Not even good Guns N' Roses.
That's
either.
Great. That's emotional Guns N' Roses.
It's not even.
It's a great song.
He didn't say Paradise City.
No.
He didn't say Don't Cry.
No,
he
Don't Cry.
November Rain. He did. He took the wedding Guns N' Roses song.
Still in the realm.
Come on.
What are you talking about?
That's even close to like Night Train. That's not even one of their better records.
All right. Well, you don't have to poo-poo me. I got one right.
You got poo-pooed, period.
Yeah, don't discourage him.
Yeah,
you're so right. I'm not discouraging him. I'm trying to help you out from that standpoint.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
At least he didn't default like Sweet Child of Mine. That's like the ultimate default record. At that point, you lose credibility.
Sorry, Kevin.
Sorry, Kevin.
Speaking of trying to keep credibility... The Pac-12, as my boy Ian Fitzsimmons likes to say when we do Freddie Fitzsimmons, he says right now they are on nothing but sand. There's no concrete underneath the Pac-12.
Ooh.
UCLA, USC on the way to the Big Ten. Big 12 talking to six teams in the Pac-12. Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Washington, and Oregon to leave. Never mind the fact they're trying to get a new TV deal.
How does this work?
That's a great question.
All these things are leaking about these six teams thinking about moving to the Big 12 while you're trying to negotiate a television deal about a league that is dissipating by the second.
You know, they're trying to do that in hopes that the six
that
teams
keeps the schools
completely.
In.
The Big 12 is like, look, y'all raided us last year at Oklahoma, Texas. Guess what we're going to do?
I mean, I'm not
going to
negotiate against ourselves because I know that's actually an ESPN product, but I mean, that seems like a position to leverage by saying, hey, look, this is what it's worth. This is what we're doing. We're not going up on that.
But if the TV deal is potentially there for the Pac-12, but you know that if you go to a Big 12 conference that's going to make more money and still have games on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm just saying. Just putting it out there.
Just the thought of having like UCLA basketball, UCLA football, USC football, like in the Big Ten. Just
playing in Piscataway.
Rutgers and Maryland are two examples of this for me on the basketball side. It's awkward for me, even when I meet Terrapin fans all the time, right? Mm-hmm. We have battles with Terrapin fans.
Yeah.
And I sure Key would go into stories about USC and UCLA.
And Notre Dame as
well. Because that was in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Regionally, we were only a couple hours away from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Going up to D.C. was always a thing. Them coming down to North Carolina, always a thing.
And you guys recruited in D.C.
Yes. It was a battle between, are you going to Maryland? Are you going to Georgetown? Are you going to North Carolina? Are you going to Duke?
Right?
All these battles. To have that moved. Mm-hmm. And now for me, even in my backyard in Jersey, to be like, wait, Rutgers is in the Big Ten? It still doesn't feel right. And I feel the same for USC, UCLA, and for these six schools that would go to the Big 12.
Because money changes everything.
I get it.
It does. And
it takes away from the nostalgia of the rivalries that existed.
There's no doubt. And the people making these decisions, they know about nostalgia. At least you would think they know about nostalgia. But money is going to rule everything. And if you're not adapting, you're going to perish.
Yeah.
The SEC said, look, you want to come? They weren't seeking out Oklahoma and Texas. Oklahoma and Texas, by the way, we're going to be frenemies. We want to go to your league. You guys going to pay $75 million per team with the new deal? Yeah, we want to be there. And SEC said, come on in.
I mean, look at what coaches getting paid now. Look at the deal that they did for Lincoln Riley. So if you're USC, you're looking to go to these conferences by saying, hey, whoa, the quota for these coaches are becoming absurd. We need to increase our bottom line exponentially in order to keep paying people.
Yeah. And by the way, here's the selling point when it comes to money. If you're an Oklahoma, Texas, you're going to the SEC. All of a sudden, you can look at people and say, man, we're going to be playing Alabama. We're going to be playing Florida. We're going to be playing Georgia. If you're USC and UCLA, you tell your alums, I know you're going to miss the rivalries. I know you guys will go to the Seattle.
Playing the
and
best
Oregon.
Of the best, though.
We're going to be playing Ohio State. We're going to be playing Michigan. We're going to be playing Michigan State. And potentially, who other. All of a sudden, the nostalgia thing goes out the window because now this becomes your new nostalgia. You create different rivalries. You can't tell me the first time UCLA goes to play Ohio State or USC goes to play Ohio State, that play's not going to be jammed.
Oh, I'm
or vice versa.
I could just tell you right now, you know, I've said it so many times on the show, I'm a Buckeye fan.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad went to school there. Like, my mom's from Elyria, Ohio. I need to be on the field when Ohio State beats USC because
right.
I need to see Key's face. So, like, that that is something that, like, there are you make a good point. There will be new rivalries
mm-hmm.
that will be born from this.
Yeah.
It still is going to take a minute to get acclimated with it, though.
The worst thing about it, the intersectional rivalries are gone because you can't schedule everybody. And that's where Notre Dame comes in because if USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten, if you're USC, you're thinking, well, why should we play Notre Dame anymore? Hmm. How does it benefit us other than nostalgia? I wonder how much of that conversation will be the case with Notre Dame not joining the conference, not joining the Big Ten, and you even if they join another conference, you can't really schedule them.
Yeah,
if you're USC.
This doesn't really make sense when the power, when the strength of your conference is way more powerful. It doesn't make sense to schedule out of non-conference games to that degree.
Right, because you're going to have cross sections because everybody's going to have different divisions. As far as that goes, that's where things get interesting when it comes to scheduling. Because if you're Rutgers, you say, well, we got USC in the conference. You're not going to come play us? That doesn't make any sense. You can't play somebody else, and they're going to go along and follow along with that.
Mm. Oh, it's going to be fascinating.
It's already
a lot
there.
Of moving parts.
It is already fascinating enough that what's next? Six teams leaving the Pac-12 to go here. Natural rivalries that could go by the wayside. What is the ACC going to do? Could they be post the SEC? It's only going to get from that standpoint. KD, Kyrie staying in Brooklyn, that's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.